Hello, friends, and welcome to DBC Conversations. This is a podcast designed to help you go deeper and help you understand what it looks like to follow Jesus in our day. Each week, we will discuss the messages taught at DBC and how we can grow together as the body of Christ. My name is AJ, and I'm here with our lead pastor,
Chad Zook,
and we are your hosts for this conversation.
It is Monday afternoon. That's when we're recording this for all our listeners, and I just scarfed down some Thai-flavored tuna out of a bag because I did not want in to get into this conversation about loving one another hangry, because I'm not very loving when I'm hangry.
Me either. Thanks for eating, though.
Yeah.
I wish you could have eaten.
Sorry for the breath,
better.
Man. Sorry.
It's okay. It's just this tiny room we're in.
That's so. Exactly right. Yeah.
We're actually in our glorious podcast studio.
Oh, man.
Just surrounded by
top notch
guitar cases and file cabinets and a whiteboard.
A cheap drum kit.
Yep. We're basically in our storage room.
Basically.
Yep. It's a little
exactly
hot, too.
Where we are.
It's hot, but, you know, it'll do. So
it's plush.
That's right.
It's plush.
It is plush. Yeah. What's Monday? Have you had a good Monday?
It is. I have had a good Monday. Did some administrative work, which is not my favorite this morning, but I got it done.
Nice.
So that was a great thing. And following up from yesterday and the services, I thought were awesome.
Yeah.
Great conversation ahead of us. And I was just so grateful that God did amazing things yesterday.
Yeah, it was a really great day. Well, yesterday you actually said something that stuck with me. And just to kind of preface this, we're in a series called Markers. This is us answering the question every week, does my life verify that I'm one of God's own?
Yeah.
So yesterday, Chad had a quote from C.H. Dodd. The quote says, "Love is the willingness to surrender that which has value for our own life to enrich the life of another." I don't know. To me, it really just echoed this, that love means going beyond yourself.
Yeah, you have to.
And even in life, I think that for me, there have been many, many opportunities and examples, good and bad, of times that I've went beyond myself and then times that I've not loved well, whether it be a stranger or someone that I know. And I think for everyone that heard this sermon and will be listening to it online or checking out on YouTube, they should ask themselves a question, you know, how much have I gone beyond myself?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think about an example that happened to me last week, actually. I haven't asked my wife for permission to say this, so I'm just going to ask for her.
I'm going to pause on her behalf. Are we okay going forward?
Oh, it's fun. It's a good example. Something that happened with us, actually, last week. And it was just an example of understanding people and also understanding that we don't know what everyone's going through. And so what happened is we had went to a really healthy place called Taco Bell.
Ooh,
delicious.
Taco Bell.
That was so good.
Yeah.
A little too hot for tacos right now, but anyways.
Is that even a thing?
I don't know. It is. Well, yeah. Anyways, Taco Bell. It's delicious. It's the best. So we checked our bank account, though, and we had two charges. Now, we only ordered one meal, so we should have only had one charge, but we had two charges. And anyways, I'm not the one that is the money person, so she was checking the bank account, and she calls me, and she's a little aggravated about it because we haven't really had a good encounter with this person. They just seem like they're not really there at the window. You know, we've all been to fast food restaurants where you just feel like you're not really being valued, and they just take notes from Chick-fil-A. There you go.
Yeah.
Just take notes from Chick-fil-A. But anyways, so we had two charges on our account, and we were just a little aggravated about it. But instead of us reacting, which is, I think, what our flesh wanted to do, we were able to just sit back and say, okay, we don't really know what this person has going on externally.
Right.
Maybe she was just, you know, talking, not paying attention, but maybe she has so much going on inside that we don't know about. And so we had two options. We could go back to Taco Bell and demand that we get our $8.57 back.
Right.
You know, and make a difference. Or we could just accept it and move on, you know, and love well. And so I'm sure if you're listening to this now, you're probably thinking of a time when you had an opportunity. Maybe you didn't do the right thing, or maybe you did the right thing. But that quote, "Love is the willingness to surrender that which has value for our own life to enrich the life of another is so powerful.
Yeah, it is. I'm really glad you shared that story because, I mean, the most loving thing that you could have done in that situation is what you did. You know, that's the most loving thing that you could have done. It's like over $8.
Right.
Like you could have blown up your testimony, your witness. Yeah. Maybe that person's far from God and they would just been driven farther away from God's people or the truth, you know, or even the love of Jesus because of what you did. So you responded in love in that by just saying, you know what, it's not worth $8. Sure. It's not worth losing my influence and all those other things. And even when, and again, I'm thankful that you were honest, even when internally, it probably would have felt good.
Right.
To like, you know what, I need, that's my $8. I work for that $8.
Yeah.
You know, to demand that $8, but instead of just kind of putting the humanity in front of it and saying, you know what, what's the most loving thing to do right now?
Right. And I think that's what we've missed, and we see it a lot now in our culture, of just thinking that we have to get what's ours.
Mm-hmm.
To forget the humanity.
Yeah.
To forget about the other person.
Right.
It's about what's mine, what's right. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I even think back to something I said yesterday, and really what Jesus said in John 13, where he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And he says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, or all mankind, all men and women, all people will know you're my disciples. I'm like, that is how important it is that we get this right, that we really love one another.
Sure.
It's like by the certain acts of being loving and not just being right. I mean, because we can be right, theologically right, and be so unloving in our approach.
Totally. And even think that, man, I said what I needed to say. That person really needed to hear the truth. Right, so I said it, but you're such a jerk when you say it,
right?
Or you're just way off base.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in that, you know, again, the flesh side of it says, wow, yes, I did it. And we back it up in the back of our mind. Maybe it's not everyone. Maybe it's just my flesh at times. It is like this is just raging in the back and saying, you know what? Somebody had to say it. It was just me. And I'm glad I got to say it because this person's going to be helped. And it's like, and really, the root of that is what you talked about earlier, is self.
Right.
It's me. It's like I'm getting, make sure I got to get this truth out, get this point across.
Yeah.
And we can do so and totally be unloving.
Hmm. Yeah. And I even think about Jesus in Scripture, just how he responds to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many times in Scripture he responds with questions. Which I just think is something that we don't respond with. We respond with answers and demands. And,
right, sure.
But just the thought just came to mind now of, you know, the woman that was a prostitute who comes in and washes his feet with her tears and, you know, they start judging automatically and start just saying, hey, you know, how are you letting this woman do this? She, you know, she wasted this expensive perfume. And, you know, in that moment, like, Jesus could have totally, like, looked at her, told her exactly what she was doing was wrong. But instead, we see an example of Christ's love through that. Mm-hmm. You know, and even he corrects his disciples in their response through that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think as Christians and culture, like, we're getting that wrong right now.
You're saying that we're getting the value of love wrong?
I think so. Okay. I think we are. And I don't use that example. I think you can skew that to say, well, we just need to accept everything.
Right.
We just need to be okay with everything.
Sure,
I think
sure.
that there's truth, and there are times whenever we need to make stances on things.
Right.
But I also see it in culture to where we're more concerned with being right than we are with being loving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really sad.
And I think we have a great opportunity right now, even with everything that's going on and the debates that are going on with the what's going to happen with the border, and then there's the... You know, I think it was the press secretary had all this stuff going on, was denied a meal because of just from being affiliated with the president, all this. And I think, I don't want to dig into who's right and who's wrong in that, but I just think, man, I think it's so obvious when you look around at the culture, what's going on in our culture, that now is the time that the church of Christ needs to shine, needs to shine the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
When everybody else is pointing fingers and trying to say, you're right and I'm wrong, the church, if we could just stand up and we could be the church. And even in this passage in 1 John that I preached yesterday, it was a matter of loving the brotherhood, loving the family of God.
Yeah.
That it has to start here.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could get this right, then the rest of the watching world would look at us and they would say, wow, there's something special about them. Mm-hmm. There's a level of love. There's a level of intentionality. There's a level of tolerance. Because even within the family of God, there's so much, there's so many differences that we have.
Right, yeah. There is.
And so much diversity. And I love that diversity that there is within the family of God. And if we could get this right, that we could just love the family of God well, that I think that the world, people outside of the faith would scratch their head and say, man, there's something to that Christianity.
And one thing that I've seen, I know you've heard this and we've had conversations about it. We've both heard it. You know, I love Jesus. I just don't love his church. You know, I think Gandhi says, like, I love your Christ. I just don't see many of your Christians. Like, how should we respond to that?
Wow. Well, I don't remember who said it exactly, but I'm reminded of this quote. To just remember that the church is the only organization that Jesus ever founded. The only one. And if it's the only one that he died for, to save and to bring into family, so for us to demean the church or to say things about the church, criticize the church, or even some have sought to abandon the church or attack the church, I think that offends the heart of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that offends the heart of God. And despite all the failures and flaws and faults that the church has, the church is still the longest lasting movement, most impacting, diverse entity or movement the world has ever seen and will ever know.
Wow.
Even in all of our imperfections.
Yeah.
But I think this is the value of the passage I was quoting a minute ago from Colossians 3, that if we bear with one another, we tolerate one another, understanding that I'm going to get things wrong, you're going to get things wrong, other people within the family of God are going to get things wrong, but I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to love them anyway.
I even think about the context of that passage. You know, 1 John, this letter, we believe John's writing to this group of people. You know, first in the, we talked about this last week about Christian culture and how weird it can be, but also post-Christianity and all of that. But this particular chapter, he's actually kind of trying to rally the church together to say, hey, let's love one another well, because what was happening was they were being split by false doctrine.
Absolutely.
And it's not, we're no strangers to that now. That happens. I mean, just goodness gracious, just get on Facebook. Actually, don't get on Facebook.
But, yeah, don't
but
do
if
that.
You get on Facebook, you'll just see it. Yeah. I mean, the splitting that's happening even in the church, which should be the most unified organization. It should be a family. Yeah. And I think the church misses and will continue to miss until the day we can reconcile as a family.
Well, and even the reality that the New Testament was birthed out of a lot of conflict within the church. But they got it right.
Right.
They got it right because the love of God ultimately wins. And when they were getting it, they weren't perfect.
Right.
But they got it right.
Right.
And the movement that Jesus founded now, over 2,000 years later, is still going strong. And I believe that's even stronger than it ever has been. There's more people who claim the name of Christ and are truly born again all over the world. And yet, we can be so fixated on our culture here and miss what God's doing everywhere else.
Right.
And even in that, I think that there's so much confusion where people, they think, oh my goodness, you know, Jesus must be coming back tomorrow because the world's just in this terrible place. And has the world ever been this bad? And like I said yesterday, the Romans worship their nation and political leader. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle you're on. Everybody's trying to claim that they're right and the other one's wrong. And if we're really honest, I think that there's some idol making happening there. And I think there's certainly some idol worship that's happening there. Hmm. We're worshiping our political leader, no matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Sure.
Also, when Pilate is just, he's just questioning and he's having this interaction with Jesus and he says, what is truth? Hmm. Like culture is like, what is truth?
Right.
Same thing that he wrestled with. That they were wrestling with in their day, we wrestle with today. And even the that the Greeks, of which the New Testament was birthed into a Greco-Roman culture, and they were pro-homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Corinthians, I mean, Paul gets right into all of that and has to deal with it. Mm. But God and his love and the way he perseveres with us, he won. And he won through the church.
Right, right.
And he was glorified when we love others the way that he loved us.
Yeah. You kept saying something yesterday. You said it's not, you know, truth, the Bible even, that won. It was love that won. And I'm sure some people may have kind of felt uncomfortable with that. And obviously, you weren't saying that truth doesn't matter. Obviously, we believe there
absolutely.
Is absolute
there
truth.
There is an absolute
and,
truth.
And
Old and New
not
Testament,
even that we're,
yeah.
We're not even, you know, trying to ask the question, well, is it Jesus or the Bible? Because we believe it's both.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
They complete each other.
Yeah.
But we do have to see that, you know, people don't, let's just be honest, people really don't care how much you know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know how much you care.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
exactly
if you're
right.
trying to win somebody to Jesus, it's probably not a good idea to go and, you know, just load them with a bunch of scripture and just mm-hmm. tell them, you know, they're bound for hell. What that does is that doesn't really communicate love. It
yeah.
communicates, hey, you're more of a project than I actually care, and
right,
and
right.
I want you to change, not because you need to change.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, I hope that I haven't been one to do that, and maybe I have, but I think that's a good, especially where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're in the context of the South.
Yeah.
I mean, that sometimes we can think we've helped people by just giving them the truth.
Right.
And
yeah.
all the
oh,
while, we haven't cared.
Although Ephesians 4 says that we need to speak the truth in love.
Right.
So it's like how we deliver that truth matters.
Sure. Uh-huh.
How we deliver that truth matters. You said something, and I just wanted to see if you have an example. Talking about the church and when the church does, when it loves well.
Right.
And I used an example yesterday of a church that I was actually called out of in Illinois. Great group of people. Church is going strong, just a beacon of the light of Jesus in the community still. Hmm. God's doing great things there. But do you have any examples like that from your own life where the church has really stepped up or shaped you or really impacted your life?
Sure, yeah. And actually, like I said last week, I was raised in church, and I'm sure there were times, you know, even younger and coming up that the church was blessing our family. But a few things I can just speak into for me and even my wife, Ashley, is just how this church has blessed us. I mean, mm-hmm. Me and Ashley just celebrated 4 years of marriage. We have a child on the way. Like, we just had a great, but also in some ways painful 4 years. There have been things that have happened. And this church has just loved on us so well. I mean, mm-hmm. from the time we were engaged, I'd never even seen this before, but they threw what we would call, I guess, a man shower,
mm-hmm.
Where you guys just came together and were like, hey, you know, we knew we were buying a house and getting married and all of that. And it was like, you're going to have home repairs.
Mm-hmm.
You need tools to do these home repairs. And I still have no clue how to use half of them, but there's YouTube.
Full transparency. I had no idea what a man shower was. That, I believe, actually came from my wife or someone else said, hey, what about a man shower? I was like, what is that?
What is that?
And they're like, well, the guy gets tools. I'm like, I can get behind tools.
Yeah, right.
I can get behind that.
It's the shower that kind of makes
it. Yeah,
like,
I know.
What is
it
that?
Seems not.
But yeah, so this man shower, it seems sounds funny saying.
I know.
But you guys just loved on us so well. I mean, everything from really nice, expensive tools to mm-hmm. duct tape.
Right.
I mean, just really practical.
Because it fixes everything.
It does. But it was just really practical for us. And I just remember really almost, maybe that wasn't the first time, but right now it's the first thing I can think of really feeling loved.
Hmm.
Not just because I was in a position or leading worship, but because
right,
these people really cared about us.
Yeah.
And then to kind of reflect on a time last year, we actually went through a miscarriage last year,
mm-hmm.
almost a year ago in July. Obviously, that's a painful thing, and mm-hmm. you're figuring out how to even process all of this. And we're young, and we're thinking, you know, what's wrong? And people were there to listen.
Hmm.
And they were there to be quiet, and they were there to listen and just be there, bring us food, or just come and sit, you know, with us when we needed it. And those are the times that I think love really shows. Mm-hmm. Like, we think of love as action sometimes, and sometimes all love is just being there for the person. Mm. It's just
But isn't
up.
That an action, though?
It is.
It's like,
it really
it's
is.
People step, love to me, and not disagreeing with what you said, but sure. I think in that, it's stepping up. It what they did, the action was just being present.
Yeah.
And it's like just showing up, especially when you don't have to, quote unquote.
Yeah.
It's like just being there.
Yeah.
I had a similar situation a couple of years ago after my mom passed away. And as tragic as that was, and it just, it really shook me, of course. But there was one individual who didn't ask permission to come over. But as soon as he found out, he came over to the house. Hmm. And when he came over, and I still remember where we talked. Right. I still remember some of the conversation, and it was some of the just the most kind words and kind listening that I've ever experienced. And there was no judgment, no matter what I said or all the emotions were flooding out of me through words. There was no judgment. There was just listening, and there was just a kind, thoughtful response when needed to be. Right. And that was the most loving thing. In that moment, it was like, wow. And to me, that was somebody who didn't have to be there. Mm. I mean, he had other things he could be doing.
Sure.
But he came. Didn't ask permission. He just showed up. Mm. And to me, love takes, Christian love and loving the family of God takes many forms. It's being there in celebrations. Mm. You know, it's being there in tragedies. It's being there just in times of silence like that.
Yeah.
All sorts of situations.
Sure. Yeah, and I think, just to reiterate what you said, I mean, the church is expected to show up in tragedy. It's expected to show up, you know, when you have a family member that dies. We're expected to be there. It's the times that you're not expected that really mm-hmm. matters. That's what really shows people you care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where community comes in, and we're huge on that here. That's such mm-hmm. a foundational piece of our mm-hmm. our church and church as a family here is just being with one another.
Yeah, we're actually going to talk more about that later.
Yeah.
In the series of episodes in this marker series itself, I can't wait to preach through that.
Sure.
That's going to be happening in the future.
Well, you had this quote too that I just think is timely and says, the world hates why the Christian loves. Hmm. The world takes why the Christian gives, and the world will die, but the Christian lives. Hmm. And in culture, again, not to put you on the spot, but mm-hmm. I mean, just right here where we are, let's just talk about just a few things that maybe we as the church could do better, just do better for our community right now.
Hmm.
Like, what are some areas that maybe if you're not familiar with DBC, let's just talk about some things that maybe we do as a church mm-hmm. that tries to serve the community, give back. I mean, can we
sure.
talk
well,
about
I
that?
Well, I mean, even this weekend, sure. this next Saturday, we, mm-hmm. we do the soup kitchen. We serve there just a few times a year. We partner with the church across town. They're right in an area of deep need. Hmm. And our community is not in the place where those needs are the same. So we partner with them. And we don't just partner by bringing food and supplies. We do that. But we also go in and we encourage. And we seek to encourage those who are at that church volunteering themselves. So we go in and we just want to kind of meet that need with them, encourage the people who are there week after week doing this thing.
Right.
So that's one way that we do it. There's a lot of other ways that we're talking about doing it, actually. Mm-hmm. Right now there's a school supply drive. The reason yeah. why we do this is, and my wife's a teacher, so this is just a burden for us.
Right.
Not necessarily, she doesn't have to do this, but we know that this exists. The teachers have to provide school supplies for kids in their own class. So not, in my opinion, I think they're underpaid.
Sure.
And now they're underpaid and largely overworked and overburdened. And now out of that burden, they also have to provide school supplies. Hmm. So we can't help every child in Lawrence County
right,
yet.
Right. Yeah.
Yet.
Sure.
Right. But what we can do right now is we can go out and we can meet the need of a classroom or two, hopefully in time, a school. Maybe a school system, and I think that this is so much bigger than what it is right now,
right.
but I think it'll grow as people take hold of it.
Hmm. that's an example of just us going beyond ourselves. We don't think about school supplies. I mean,
no.
Most of us are, you know, we have enough to where we can go out and you can buy school supplies for your kids and their friends.
Right.
You know, we don't think about the person that is going without. And that's what we're talking about with going beyond yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and again, not that we are wanting to put and just say, just accept and just be, you know, accepting and loving towards everything. Obviously, there's truth. There's areas of where, you know, what we say is we need to build that person up and not build the sin up. We need to tear the sin down, but build the person up.
Yeah.
Also just being there.
Yeah.
I think is just so, so important.
And the gospel compels us to do this.
Yes.
The gospel compels us to love in the way that you just lined out and to love the individual, but at the same time to speak into the sin and into the individual.
Right.
If they're within the family of God.
Sure.
I mean, if they're truly born again, we need this from one another. We need people to speak the truth into us.
Yeah.
So even in that, I think to love Jesus well is to love his people well. Mm. And at the same time, it's lovingly building people up. And at the same time, get this, tearing the sin down.
Yeah.
So it's building the people up and tearing the sin down.
Sure.
That's not something that I see in the culture right now. I think culturally people put all of that all together.
Right.
So if you say I did anything, there's such sensitivity to that and intolerance to that.
Right, right.
But the people of God are compelled by the love of God to bear with one another and to forgive as Jesus has forgiven us.
Yeah.
And that's what love looks like, I believe, in our culture.
Yeah. How we love lingers long in this world. So listener, church, believer, we've got to get this right. So love somebody well this week, whether it's a conversation or just being there with them in the silence. Let's love people well. Thanks for listening.